All right. So again, I told you this is going to be the day of many firsts. So we did 1 John as we prayed over that. Let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 12, please. And we're going to focus on this. My message, I have a title for it. I call it United We Serve. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And then I'm only going to do 13 verses. My original plan was to try to do the whole chapter. And I just looked at that, and I'm going through it, and it's like, well, I don't want to cut into Pastor Brian's time, so we're not going to do all that. I think Brian would give me some grace, but I don't want to go in there. So let's just go ahead. I just want to read the verses. We'll go down to verse 13, and then we'll just kind of lay it out what the Lord has showed me as I was studying this Bible verse out. So in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities in gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man, serving as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." It's a lot there. And if I would have went on, it would have been even longer. So we'll go ahead and start it out. I was floored when I read this, and I was kind of studying out, where do I want to go? How do I want to teach this? Because this was 3 weeks ago. Randy came up to me and said, "Hey, Ray, I'm going to walk. I need someone to cover for my class." And he can't say no to that opportunity, because he asked, and because you know he's been equipping. Randy's been, like to me, you know how we have Paul, and Paul had his disciples like Timothy? Randy's invested that kind of energy into me as well, so when he asked, "Can you do this for me?" he couldn't say no. It would have been selfish for me in that case. This is a great opportunity, and I just didn't know what to do, and I'm just praying, and it hit me. It hit me hard. It's like, wait a minute, I did a devotion on this. Let's come back and not just do a devotion. Let's go into what the Bible really says about this. The one thing that, as we got into this verse that just stood out, is Paul was telling them, "I don't want you guys to be ignorant. You know, uneducated." I just want to go into that one right there. You know, we throw the word ignorant around, and sometimes it can be derogatory. In this case, Paul says, "I don't want you to be uneducated." So we got to get into the Word of God here to see what he has laid out for us. And then the other thing that just floored me as well is just the dumb idols. You know, the worship that we're doing right here. You know, people would put in there those false idols in their lives that make it more a priority than coming into church on Sunday morning or just getting into the Bible and studying it out. He's just telling them to deal with those dumb idols. Which just reminded me. So that just floored me right off the bat. He's just talking about, hey, it's time to, you know, time to start learning. And it's time to put away the little things in life. And he's going into it right there. And then the last part of that, in those first three verses, the last part of this is, we're in this together. You know, it says right there, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh the same Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, but no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit." We're tied into this together by the Holy Spirit. You know what? I sat back here and I was thinking about this, and I look at it. Look, everyone in this room, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, me being saved and coming to HBF, I would only recognize two of you in this whole process. And that was because it was because of my former job at FedEx. You know, Larry has his clock shop in Peculiar. I think I delivered once or twice there. But we never talked. I mean, that's the thing. I would not have known you. And then Jamie was the manager of the Sherwin-Williams here in Harrisonville. That was my extent. I mean, Richard and Judy, I think, you know, I just met you guys, and I'm delivering furniture to you guys when you guys were living on the other side of Peculiar. Other than that, I would not have known any of you guys if it wasn't for God and the Holy Spirit. So he brings us together in this, and I can't imagine my life without it. So I hope you guys as well just realize what we have here. So that's why I call it United We Serve. It's because we are into this together. So I'm going to go ahead into the next four or the next three verses. I see three things that popped out inside of me. And we know this as saints is that we know about the Trinity, the Godhead. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see each one of these right here. So it's telling me the whole, you know, God's right here in verse 4. So we see not the diversities of spirits, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's a capital S. So we see God right there in the Holy Spirit. And then we see, and then the differences of administrations, but the same Lord. We see Jesus Christ as our Lord. He's administering. He's coming back. And he's going to minister on this earth. He's coming back. So we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's taking care of this. And then we have in verse 6, we see the Father. And there are diversities of ours, but it is the same God which worketh in all in all. It's the Father that gives us that equipment there. So we have the Trinity. And I want to do a little illustration on this. So I'm going to erase Bob's. I believe this is Bob's. He taught last week. So hopefully he won't be mad at me. Hopefully he's not going to continue. But one thing that they showed us in HBI, and I've seen this illustration before, and you guys may have as well with Randy, and it just ties in, I think, very well, is you got God, so I'm just going to put a G in the middle, and then you have God the Father, so I'm just going to use the letter F just to shorthand it. We have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So one thing I want to just kind of remember right here is, the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but God is in there. So if you notice that God's in the center of everything, and he's radiating out in each one of these instances right here. What's also is kind of cool about this, we talk about the Trinity, so we got three parts. It also comes together as well as a triangle. Richard, Judy, I'm sorry, I got my back to you guys. But we make a triangle right there. This is all tied together. It's that relationship that we always talk about here at HBF. Also, and this is not by default either, or just by some happens, but God designed that in purpose. Because if you look at that geometrically, the triangle is the strongest shape that you can have in any object. So this is tied in together right there to make a strong bound. And then, they kind of set into this, I'll come back to this one a little bit later, but we see that in Matthew 18:20 as well. We see that where it comes together, where two or three come together, we can get that triangle right there. So I just want to give you, that's, there's just strength right there in seeing that shape as you go through. So if you're going to make something, like if you're going to weld and make a cage for something, you want to use triangles because it's going to be stronger. Now you can get by with making a square or ovals or arcs inside of it, and it'll still be strong, but not as strong as this can be. So in here I have Romans 1:20. So let's go ahead and flip over to Romans 1:20 to kind of tie this into it. And it comes back to being God, the center part of this, the Godhead. And it goes, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we're coming together with this, with God in the center of everything, with his Holy Spirit, with his Son, with him as the Father. So it's tying together, and we have that strength that ties us into it. Another part about the Trinity, as we see here, and we know this verse, is in Matthew 28:19. So if we jump over to Matthew 28:19, we have the Great Commission. And we see it right here. We see the three of them together, united inside of it. So Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So that's one part of the Great Commission right there, is we have that Trinity established right there, and it's a strong bond that we can go into it. All right, so we're going to continue back on. So in verse 7 through 12, we start seeing some different talents or skills or abilities that the Lord has given us. And he's given this to everyone for his profit. So we see that in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And this is where it gets interesting, because we all have this, and I look at this as we grow in the church. How do I do this? I may not do this very well, but I can do this. How do I fit into the big thing here at HBF as it's serving the Lord? How do I apply it? And the one thing that keeps on coming back to me is looking at the different talents. Each one of us has a unique talent that we use to glorify the Lord. Everyone inside of here. And I've seen it, I've watched it. And that's the cool thing about being up in the sound booth. This kind of sounds weird, but when I sit up there, sometimes I have a moment. I just look around. I look at the congregation. It's like, how do they fit into the body? And I don't have all the answers, and that's okay. I'm not supposed to have all the answers. But they're here, and they have a purpose. And I didn't always understood that. And it wasn't until, I would say, about 2, maybe 3 years ago, I didn't understand that. Is, man, you know, what are they doing? And it's like, I don't know everything, so I can't answer that. And, you know, God pricked my heart and said, hey, there's something there. If I can find a way to at least talk to them, figure it out, how to help them, and figure it out. So the first one that we can see, the first gift that we talked about in verse 8 is talked about the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. So I have a little note on wisdom. And I've always done this. Wisdom is different than knowledge, because the next gift is knowledge as well. Wisdom is understanding. I always call it the application. It's the way you apply knowledge which makes you wise or wisdom. If you don't apply it, and then it's just knowledge, just information sitting there waiting to be Googled and pulled out. So wisdom is an understanding. It's a behavior. It's the application of that. And another way of that is to teach. Now, I pulled that out of Strong's Concordance, and there was 18 different versions of the word wisdom and variations of that. But they all come back to understanding. Or most of them did. So that was the first one right there. And the next one is, I want to come back to the word of knowledge. So again, I kind of mentioned that. That one is again, aware, care, and revere. So that's this information that we have that's been made available to us. Until we apply it, it's just, like I said, it's just information. Yeah, so there were some other synonyms with that. Aware, care, revere. I kind of like that. It had a kind of a alliteration in that one. So that's, we like our alliterations around here. So we see the knowledge and the wisdom as it applies in verse 8 there. If you want to, come over here in Exodus 31:6. This one really popped out that tied into this. Actually, I was studying this out. It actually kind of opened my eyes into my heart and said, Ray, you need to get over and start studying Exodus a little bit more. I mean, I've glanced over it, but as I was getting into this message, it's like, I need to come back and look at this one. And there was another one as well, but this right here comes back. So 31:6 says, and behold, I have given with him Aholibib, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of them that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, and that make all that I have commanded thee. So God has given wisdom. He's given them the application to use that knowledge and to carry forth inside of here. While we're here in Exodus 31, I'll come back and revisit this, is the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit in 31:3. It says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manners of workmanship. So God has blessed it. I mean, we've seen it here. He's used the Holy Spirit in the past as well. We've seen him with the Jews as they're leaving, you know, Egypt. He's given them that knowledge and the wisdom to carry forth right there. In verse 9, back in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And now we know faith. That's a strong word. It's just, you know, what is it, Hebrews 11, 1, I believe it is. I do have that written down, so I'm going to jump back over here, and I'll just read it for you real quick. Faith, I don't want to butcher it. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, when I got saved, I couldn't see God. You know, and I think everyone else, I can't see him physically. He's not like us in this room talking and interacting with each other. I mean, I can feel his presence. I can feel it. And that's the one thing right here I see going forward here is that faith. I'll just use Gwen as an example. Gwen, please forgive me. But that journey that you've been through and where you're at right now has been faith. It has been an act of faith inside of there. So we've seen that. And same with, you know, Jan and Desiree. And you guys have been through some journeys as well, but it's been through faith. And everyone else, I can probably go through here, but I just use those examples because I'm more aware of the struggles. But we have all been through this with faith is the challenge right there. And if we don't have that faith, we're not going to be able to be united inside of this. Also, faith is contagious. You see, when you get into a room of believers that have that faith and we're all praying together, man, it is powerful. It is very powerful. And again, it's another factor that unites us together. And then the second part of that one was the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You know, I was talking about that. Anyone a doctor in here? No? I know at least one nurse. Anyone else a nurse? EMT? All right, so we think of healing physically like that. But you know, we have that gift of spiritual healing as well. We all have it. Just coming up and shaking a person's hand or giving them a brother or sisterly hug, just that little touch, saying, hey, we love you, we're praying for you, goes a long distance. And it has that power to heal. So I want to say, it does heal, and you have that gift. And again, knowing that, we can come together and heal together and be stronger. And then the next one down here in verse 10, this one was a tough one for me. But to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. I just want to focus on those two. Miracles. We've seen miracles, believe it or not. If you ever led someone to the Lord, there's a miracle right there. If you look at that, if you go back to John 2, when Jesus was asked by Mary to convert the water to wine, and he converted that miracle, that's an example of salvation. We have this physical being right here, the water, and it's being transformed when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Another picture of this, and they turned to wine. That's that salvation. It's a sweet flavor right there for the Lord. I say flavor, I meant, you know, it's something sweet for the Lord that he wants to cherish. It's just not plain water. Because you can corrupt water as well. So you think about it, you can throw some junk into it and the water's no longer good. That's sin in our life. Now when we have that wine, it's been perfected. Now if we let that do nothing with it, we're going to ferment and we're going to get sour. So when we get converted to wine, we have that new body, and if we don't do anything with it, we are not going to be able to go forward and serve the Lord like that. So we don't want to be still with the wine inside of there. Prophecy, that was the one I was having a hang up on. I'll be honest, I'm going to sit here and I'm studying this out. I'm not a prophet, you know, at least in the terms of Old Testament prophets. But you know, I had to, you know, God is giving us these great relationships to work with each other, and I had to use one of those resources. I'm studying out, still not connecting the dots. But we have God's prophecy right here. We're using it. We read our word. That's why they always tell you, and that's why you always hear the pastors around here, Go to the Word of God first. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. Don't take my word for it. Go to the Word. And I had to remind that. So we have the Word of God right here. We have His prophecy, His knowledge into us that we're going to share with everyone else inside of there.
Yeah, also the kind of the idiosyncrasy of the English language between prophecy and profess.
Yes.
We profess this prophecy.
Exactly. And that's where it ties us in. And I, like I said, I don't want to be an Old Testament God speaking. I don't want people to think that I'm the only one that's been interpreting that. That's why I was struggling with that one word, was prophecy. It's because I didn't want to think I was the only vessel. That's the last thing I want to be. I'm interpreting the Bible for you. No, I'm laying out the Bible what it says right here. That's the difference. And that's why I was struggling with it. Is, no, I want to go to the Word of God.
We have had from the beginning, which our hands have handled.
You're right. Exactly. So, continuing on with this, verse 11. Wait a minute, back to verse 10. Then we have the discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and another to the interpretation of tongues. That one was going to kind of get interesting as well. So I'm going to kind of flip back over here. So discerning of spirits, this is just one of those things that we have to come over and look for. And the thing that I came up with, again, more some synonyms for it, is the moods. Being able to go over and look at someone's continence is the word I hear a lot. How are they doing? Are they, you know, I don't smile a lot, believe it or not. I try to, but when I'm focused on a task and serving the Lord sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, so I apologize. I'm focused. It's not that I don't want to, but I'm just, you know, I just have that focus. And sometimes because of my, it looks like I'm grumpy. It's not that I'm grumpy. It's, I was just focused on that. And just that discerning spirit, most people around here that know me understand that, hey, I'm going to go through it. It's not that I'm trying to be mean. I'm just focused. And it's just that, but it's that discerning of spirits. Hey, sometimes you just look at a person, you just come up to them, give them that brother hug, pat them on the back and say, hey man, how you doing? That goes a long ways. Or just a good firm handshake, like Wayne and I go through. We have this little thing that we've been doing, I don't know, since the beginning. He'll come up, Arnie, Wayne, Blowers, Raymond W. We just go back and forth and just have our fun with that. But you know what? That discerning spirit, this is as, man, I can look forward to Gwen doing that. And it puts a little spark in lifting your step in the day. So you have that discerning of spirits as well. Now, the divers kinds of tongues. This one was kind of interesting. And I was looking at it, and I was kind of trying to break it down. There's a lot of different versions of divers. Anyone served in the Navy? I don't want to offend. Randy, I know you're hearing this. I know you served, but you used to hear a saying, cuss like a sailor. That's one of the first things that comes to mind when you hear about divers and tongues. But, you know, sailors have a reputation. Same with men that serve in the military. There's a different vernacular that doesn't normally get done in day-to-day life. But when you're on a military base and they're in a combat situation, terms are flying. Another term like this that I come to is merchants and tradesmen. Now, I can talk about what I do inside of what I do for my work, and I can start throwing terms out there, and you guys are going to look at me like, Ray, what are you talking about? That's that divers. There's a vernacular that I can talk with my coworkers at work, and we can go back and forth. We have kind of a separate language, but we're still talking in English, but it's just specific to it. Or same like a carpenter. He'll tell you, hey, go ahead and do that, you know, 16 on center. And you're like, what does that mean? And he'll just say, hey, as a carpenter, you know to lay them out, your 2x4s to make your wall 16 inches on center. And what it does is you space it out evenly so everything looks nice and neat. And it also ties into when you go through and put your insulation in, you go put your pipes in, put your drywall, everything lines up just right. So there's some of that divers of tongues. So some of us have that ability to come through there and have a different kind of language, but we still can get go through and communicate and share the gospel. And then the last one right there, as we talk about, is the interpretation of tongues. That's a good challenge right there. I cannot speak a full second language. I tried, tried as I may, I only got through one semester of Spanish in college, and that was tough. And I forgot it. And here's the other part of it, is I went through all that. I was really excited about learning it, but I never used it. Because I didn't use it, it went sour. Just kind of like we were talking about our spirit, you know, just not doing anything with it. So, but we have the ability to interpret, and you know, we have Sharon De Leon. She can go through and translate for us if we need her to. So, and there's some others that have that ability inside of here. So we can go through and do the interpretation of tongues. So we have these gifts. It's a matter of if we want to use them as we come forward and serve our Lord. All right. So this is all being done together. So in verse 11 it says, "But all these that worketh one in the same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." We got to use this to equip this. Now, do we have to do everything? No, but use which one you have inside of here is best. That will work for you. You know, so just go ahead and look at this. What can I do to serve the body that will help help HBF get the mission out there, get the word of God to those that don't have it? So all these, and like I said, we have all these gifts. We just have to apply them inside of here. All right, so we're going to continue on here. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." You know, we always hear that, you know, the state phrase here, was it united we stand, divided we fall. You know, that kind of applies. I think this is where they got it from. But we are united together in one body. Inside of here. One of the things that comes together is if you look over in Ephesians 4:3, so we see here to endeavor to keep in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to go ahead and throw verse 4 in there. "There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling." And you can go forward even forward. I mean, just Ephesians is a great book. I like Ephesians. I will be honest. And then he says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." Again, we see the letter 3. We see everything tied together. So there's unity. We have to have that unity as a body. Since we're in Ephesians, go into 4:13 down at the bottom. "Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So we are becoming united together. You know, we're united together as believers, but there's going to be another day when we're united in heaven as believers as well. And it's going to be a glorious time. I'm looking forward to that day. Yes, sir?
Backing up just a little bit from what you just said. Like your diagram right up there. What do we fit in that? You know, a third of that is already in us. So
yeah.
How do we keep from having unity? If, you know, I mean, if we're doing what we say we're doing, you know,
right.
We're going to have unity because we've integrated a part of that Holy Trinity.
Yes, this is all part of us.
Yeah.
And through the Holy Spirit right there, that's in us. But then we're going to have that unity when we get to heaven. When we get, you know, we get our glorified bodies, the Son will be there and the Father will be there as well. And then we'll be completely united. Again, that's why we're going to shed these bodies.
That's why I think communion is so important.
Yeah, communion as far as working together. Not communion, the act of what the Catholic Church, right? It does. It radiates out. It's actually, I like to think of it like this. It's not a linear existence. We're not along this timeline. Even though we exist in a linear plane, because of this, it starts from a circle and it radiates out like this. And you can go in any direction as you need to, as you radiate out. And that's that growth within the Holy Spirit. Actually, I use this a lot when I talk about some things at work, because this is one workflow. But if anything comes in the way and breaks it, just like that, you have to come back through. You have to figure out what you're doing. So there's either an up or down movement, and then come back over and continue on. So this is, and things can keep on jagging this up and go up here like that. It gets all kind of weird and wonky. This is more organic and natural and just lets you go through it. And you can contract and then you can expand, but it doesn't derail you like it does with a linear existence.
Yeah,
well, I'm just saying, yeah, exactly, that linear existence. And then eventually, until you get to that point where you need to be, say, Lord, I can't do it anymore, and then you can lift up and go here. But I don't think he wants us to just have that linear existence, because when we get to heaven, yeah, when we get to heaven, time's not going to matter. This is all based off of time. This is all man's...
It's important to love each other. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, the pastors always come through and say, hey, let's go out and hand these out. If we can go out two by two, just like he sent the disciples out and hand these out to everyone, go and knock on the door, hey, we want to invite you. Or we get encouraged that, hey, we need help running a booth at the harvest party. You know, that's the thing where we come together in that communion to help glorify the body and help glorify God in this manner. Yes, ma'am. No, this is great. I kind of want some discussion.
And sometimes you're talking about radiating out in the linear and comparing those two. Sometimes we can be so intent on finding our gift of the Holy Spirit that we don't try new things.
Right.
Sometimes in the trying of new things, I'm thinking about several instances that I know of where the person never thought that they would, that this was something that they could do for the Lord, but they ended up being very effective.
That's me. I never...
And so if you thought, well, I can't ever do that, and so you just didn't ever try it, you know...
Yeah, I know. It was, you know, what is it? Failure is the greatest tool to learn from. That's the most successful people in the world. And I'm not talking about measuring by money, but people that say, hey, I'm successful, they find themselves successful. They go, I failed here, I failed here, I failed here, I failed here. You know, the other pictures I've always seen too, I've seen little memes and everything about it. You see a duck on top of calm water, but underneath you see his feet just going like this. Or I've seen one too, is the iceberg. You see just a little bit of it, but below the water line, there's this massive amount of failure and everything else that not everyone's aware of that got you to this point. No, this ties in exactly to that. So we have to expand. We use this term a lot in our house and with my friends. We've got to expand our bubbles. So we start here with this bubble and then grow out to this one. And that's that growth process. Again, that's why I say it's organic this way. This isn't really growth. That's just moving along. And that's actually one of the things. And like I said, I raised my hand about that. That was me. 11 years ago, you think that when Brianna and I walked into this church, that you think I'd be here today talking and sharing the Bible? I didn't think of that.
Thanks, God.
You know, I think, you know, we have a lot of other history. I mean, and I pick on this a little bit, but like Gwen and Betty, you guys didn't think that as well years ago. Gwen or Jan and Desiree. You know, we didn't expect this journey. This is not what we planned, but here we are. Richard, Judy, Jamie. I know, you know, Jamie, you've had some rough rides too, but that journey, though, you didn't think you'd be here where you're at. You're up in the sound booth with me. You know what? 5 years ago, you wouldn't have done it, but you're up there. You know, so we're encouraged to expand that bubble, and if we just got to take that walk of faith. So I'm encouraged with this. Thank you, guys, because that actually ties into how I'm doing this as well. I do want to lead with a couple other verses, and we'll just wrap this up, because I do have to run in and get the sound booth ready for the main service with the rest of the team. But I have Psalms 133, 1. This one was a good another verse about being united together. And just like you were saying, Barb and Larry, we were all in Jim. We're just ready to go right here. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, I look forward. I used to, and there's some history here. There's days like I don't want to go to church. We got to be honest about that. There's days I don't feel like it. You trug through it, and you know what? It turns out those are some of the best days when I forced myself to do it, because I come into unity. It's not me. It's not that selfishness. Not me, 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 me. It's like, okay, and just you just bend that knee, you know, bend that will. So I'm just encouraged with this because we're united in the Lord. And then we also have 1 Thessalonians 4:8. And this is just a reminder that, you know, God has given us and He's equipped us. He goes, "He therefore that despiseth not man but God, but hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit." So God has equipped us. So again, that attitude, you know, defines everything that we have set right here. And then I have Exodus 35:31 as another cross reference. And again, we came back to this. We mentioned this one earlier. He goes, "And He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship." He did this for all His. It doesn't matter what we're doing as long as we're serving the Lord correctly and properly. He's given us that knowledge and that understanding inside of it. And then I want to finish up Matthew 18. I saw this one. You know, that's the cool thing about when you prepare a lesson. I'm sitting there, I'm praying over this, I'm looking over it. And there's some steps when you prepare a lesson that they've shared in HBI, and it's not secret. You know, one of the first things they say, you know, pray. You know, pray without ceasing. We need to pray over the verse that you want to do. Once you find your topic and your verses, they say write it out. Handwrite it out. Word for word has it, has God. And then I've taken that and I've just prayed over it. It's like, God, okay. And I started one thing and I'm outlining this out. And nope. So I've got like two or three different outlines that have been scratched and pitched. But we have this one. And this is another one of those ones I was just in my reading this morning that the Lord just laid upon my heart. And He saw this one in verse 18, Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Again, we're united together because we have, you know, Jesus as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us. And we can go forward with this. So we're equipped. So now, since we're one to two, you know, there's, you know, three of us, there's four, and there's many more of us in here, we can go forward together as a group and do this. And another picture of this in nature that God has designed, penguins. You look at penguins in Antarctica, you don't see a penguin here and a penguin there. You see the group together. It's not by accident. Not by accident at all. All right. I just want to say thank you guys for letting me share this. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to shut this off. We'll pray. We'll be dismissed. And then we'll continue on to main service. Richard, can you pray us out, please, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today.